Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Truly God stands by his word, and he watches over his word to perform it. And knowing that God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And through the power of his word, his spirit is activated. His power is experienced, and his manifestation becomes overwhelming. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And we know today, oh yes we do, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that the righteous run into it and they are saved. Glory be to God for the power of his sovereign presence. You've tuned into the Pilgrim's Journey, where we're captivating the walk as we walk and the talk as we talk, as the presence of God's word and his spirit is with us, the straight and the narrow path we travel. And you know what? Believe it or not, we seem as though we just started this year. We are on the 16th day of April 2023, another day that the Lord has made, that we must rejoice and be glad in it. And let me tell you something, in rejoicing in the Lord, we experience his height, his depth, his breath, his spirit, his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipowerful presence. And let me tell you something, there was ever a day and a time that we, as the chosen, we, as the delegated, we, as the committed, need to stand up, stand out, and demand to be heard. That time is here and now, because God is performing the miraculous. I know many of you are saying, but listen, teacher, listen, sister. I'm reading the headlines, and it doesn't seem very miraculous. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, our Lord, told us that in these last waning hours of mankind's modernized civilization, that we were going to see wars and rumors of wars, famines. The famine wouldn't be for so much bread and water, but for the truth. The truth has become a rare commodity. We would see civic disturbances, corruption, corrosive behavior, all of these things. Read the Gospel of Matthew. Get in the 24th chapter. Jesus told us these things to prepare us here in the present generation, which was the future generation at that day and time. He said that these times are going to come. Perilous times are what they are referred to as being. He said, but see to it that you be not shaken. Don't be moved. Because why? He told us, he said, I am. Oh, that powerful I am. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, I, what am, come into the world, that the world not be condemned, but the world be saved. That's right. He says, and I am, say it with me, I am. We are the reciprocals of the great I am. He said, I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith. And it's through him, through the power that's in his name, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, that every knee, that means adversity, lying tongues, enemy gestures, evil presences, negative vibrations, irrecompensable occurrences, individuals who think that they're higher than he is, in which they're fools. There's no one who's higher than God, that's higher than Jesus Christ. That's a person of an idiot persuasion that will even perceive themselves. Every circumstance, every condition, every issue, every hindrance, every obstacle must bow. What does bowing mean? Succumb to, be subject to, adhere to, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when God said it, that settles it. I don't care what mankind says and must confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. This is the weapon. This is the weapon of victory. This is the weapon of conquering the enemy and all of his dirty, low-down, unprolific schemes. God reveals them first, then he scatters them. God said in his word, and I don't care who you are, whether you're the head of a corporation, the head of a huge magnet company, internationally acclaimed. I don't care what political office you have or what local office you have where you're giving governance. You're accountable for what you do, the decisions that you make, the things that you say, and the actions that take place behind it. And oh, you might hide from mankind, but you can't hide from his eyes, because God's eyes are everywhere, beholding for good and evil. And you've made bad decisions. I don't know who I'm speaking to on this afternoon, where you are geographically, but I'm going to tell you something. God is omnipotent. I mean, he's all-powerful. You're not all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent everywhere, every time. You can't hide. But this is a special word. This is a word of redemption to you. Right here and now, this is a special word. I've got to speak it according to what the Holy Spirit leads me to. And I'm not going to be held accountable for your mishap, because I'm going to free myself. Yes, as chosen vessels, we have to be subject to what God lays upon us. Some things are given to others to speak, they're easy. Some things are rather complex, but if we don't obey, then we'll be chastened. And I don't want the chastening of the Lord upon me. Let me tell you, as the old saying goes, been there, done that, don't want it no more. I'm speaking to you, and you need to listen. Stop what you're doing. Get out of what you are thinking. Get out of your general audience. Get outside of your worldly profession and understand that spiritual things is what cause natural things to take manifestation. Because as we've been studying in the book of Genesis, we see that the power of the word is what made creation take place. Everything that was created was spoken out by God. And let me tell you something. At this day and hour, I don't know what your position is of leadership, of guidance, or of governance, but this is a word of warning. See, before God sent his wrath, he always sent a prophet or a prophetess. He always sent a messenger to warn those. Whether they took heed to it or not, it was totally upon their consciousness. You've made a very desperate and a very unprolific decision, an action, that has impacted individuals. And let me tell you something, the word of warning, been there, done that, seen it happen. Many individuals are true spiritual believers that love God, chosen elect, that God has set aside for his use, and you've impacted them. You can't uproot a tree and expect that tree to go elsewhere and to grow elsewhere. Even scientific instruction would not adhere to that. A tree must have roots. The roots cannot be removed because it will kill the tree. And the tree, when it's dead, what is it good for? It may not even be good enough to tear it out and to use as other byproducts. It becomes lifeless, listless. But if you could have stopped it before it happened, the destruction would have never came. You made a decision, maybe even more than one decision, but it's lying upon you because you're in a position. The enemy tried to undermine you, to undermine true believers, the chosen elect. And the worst thing you can do in this life is to offend God's children. Don't do it. I don't care if you're the leader of a self-proclaimed religious organization. That's a warning to you too. Don't mess with the anointed. Don't mess or undermine the appointed. Because God said this, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophet no harm. For it would be better to take a millstone and put it upon your neck and cast yourself into the sea. Now, we know that rivers can be deep, lakes can be deep, but the sea leads from one tributary of water to another. He said it would be better for you to do away with yourself, put that iron around your neck and just jump, than to upset or interfere or offset one of my little ones. See, God calls us his little ones. I'm glad to be a child. I love being a child of God. That means I'm not too gone and grown that he can't instruct me, that he can't get his honor and glory from me. Yes, in profession, as an educator, yes. But my first allegiance is to him that spoke life into my limbs and called me forth to fulfill the appointment through his anointing. That's rather deep because you don't have those types of roots invested within your being, but you've got to learn this way. I've been in this path over 40 years and am still learning. Don't do it, because when you interfere with God's plans and you offend his little children who cry out to him, who pray to him without ceasing, who go before him boldly to the throne of grace and advocate for those who are impacted by all the destruction that's going on in society, you make God angry. And it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living and angry God. And you may doubt and have skepticism. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to get to know him on that level. Countries have been destroyed. Look at Pharaoh and his entire army. The land of Egypt was literally destroyed. And it's a wonder from God that that country even yet exists on this planet. They got hit with plagues of locusts, of flies, of frogs, death of the firstborn. That's right. Every plague that could be mentioned upon mankind came upon them. And then when God kept telling him through the witness of Moses, God said, leave my people alone. Let them go. They did wrong. I chastise them. You don't have the authority over them. No one has the authority of us but God and Jesus Christ. Stop playing games with your destiny, with your life. Because let me tell you something. In the land of Egypt, Pharaoh probably mocked what Moses said. But you know what? He cried later. The rivers turned to blood. All the aquatic life within those perimeters was destroyed, wouldn't fit. He laughed. And you know what happened? The plagues kept coming. They kept coming. And you know what? It even took his own child. You might be saying, that's a cruel word of knowledge today. No, this is a knowledge of correction. It's never too late to make the change, to redo what you did, what the enemy conspired you to do, and save yourself from the wrath of God. You don't want anything to do with that. After all of those horrible things happened to the Egyptians, they still didn't learn. The enemy hardened the heart of Pharaoh. The enemy did it. You know who he is. Don't even call his name. Last straw. God told the children of Israel to go forth. Moses took that rod through the authority. And he hit the Red Sea. It parted. And they walked through. We're going to go into the biblical instruction of all these things later on in the year. And they walked through, the children of Israel walked through the dry path of land and reached the other side to the promised land. Here comes their enemies. God told you, leave his people alone. You see all the 10 plagues that literally wiped your country off the planet. And here he comes with his army. What happened? God's power caused them to go in the middle of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea came back together and murdered every last one of those Egyptians. Don't play with God, number one. That's number one rule. Blame vain religiosity, that's not worshiping God. Trueness of spirit says, I have a relationship with the Most High. My mind has been transformed through the power of the blood of Jesus. That I am real with myself. I am an imperfect being that desires a full-term relationship with a perfect God. That's what we're saying. And you know what? Pharaoh then realized he made the worst decisions. He thought he was being smart that he ever made. Don't mess with God's people. Don't interfere with the mission that God has set them on. When these people are nurturing the needs and the lives and the livelihoods of others, leave them alone, because you will stir the wrath of God. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Here's a witness again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oftentimes referred to as the three Hebrew boys. They were about their business, about their mission. Here comes old Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted people to recognize him, bow down to him. When the people heard the music play of the dulcimer, the psaltery, and the sackbut, it was time to bow down. But these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, no, we will not bow down to you. We worship the only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of the universe, the very master of every living thing. You know, Nebuchadnezzar got angry. What did he do? Take them and put them in the furnace. He was that angry. Don't play with God's children. This is a warning. You want a curse to reside upon you, your position, your family, and those that are connected with you? Don't do it. And what happened? He tried to do away with them in the furnace. Guess what happened? Third time around, the observer, one of his most trusted men, soldiers, said, wait a minute. There's not only three in the furnace, there's the fourth. The fourth looks like the Son of Man. Many say that Jesus took the heat out of the furnace. No, God fanned the flames, and he caused them to reign as leaders. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't believe it. He had to see it for himself. True enough, the three Hebrew boys came out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their clothes didn't even smell of smoke or a fire. These men were untouched. Don't do it. This is a word of warning. Don't do it. Please don't play with your life and the wellness of your life and the provisions of your life, because the wrath of God will get you. And this is a word of warning. Sometimes it's prophesying. It's not always an easy thing to do. But I tell you something, and I got to give witness to Nebuchadnezzar. He had to acknowledge it. You know a God that will keep you this way, that will prevent harm from coming to you. Let me get to know him too. But before he got into full knowledge of who God was, Nebuchadnezzar, he had to crawl on his belly like a snake. See, don't you think it's unnatural that God would allow a king or a ruler to crawl like a snake? When you mess with God's anointing and appointing, you're messing with the heart of God. Don't you know many of us pay attention to things, and what is not right, we go to him and we seek him Don't you know that God is glorified because of this? You try to subtract God's glory from a true believer committed to what is right in his eyes, not in your eyes. Your eyes don't count. God's wrath will kindle against you. And I don't want to see his wrath anymore. It's a sad thing, and there's no escape. No matter where you do, you can't escape it. For the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, holding both good and evil. And I just want to give you an example, a short story before we go into the word today. There was a woman that I came across years back, decades ago, and she came actually to give me a report about a director of her company who had treated her unfairly for the unscrupulous years of dedication of service that she worked. And the whole problematic situation was, she said she always felt as though she was the one identified for correction, because anything would be said, it would be said to her. Anything that would be done as far as disciplinary constraints would be toward her. And she couldn't understand, because everyone really liked her. She was a loving person. And the reason why she was, because she was a true believer. She was appointed for that location. She was anointed to go through with those patients and to give them the capacity to overcome their psychological invariances. So she was appointed there. And people recovered. And see, sometimes people will hate the anointing on you because they don't understand why you have it and they don't. The scripture tells you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And she said that the very director of the establishment came against her, began to decrease the amount of cases that she was receiving. He started saying humiliating things to her. And during the time that they would meet as a conglomeracy together with the other workers, and she said she would be heartbroken. She spoke to me and she said, you pray with me. I said, what? This is already done. The battle is already won. You already got the victory. Well, long story short, because we need to get into our teaching segment today on Pilgrim's Journey, she said that she noticed that less and less he started coming as the supervisor. You know, supervisors stick out like sore thumbs. You'll notice they're there or they're gone. If you don't even notice the person sitting right next to your cubicle is there or gone, you'll notice them because they maintain the integrity of being an authoritative figure. See, when you're in leadership, you've got to be careful because you will lose your sanity. You will lose the capacity of your existence, and you will get the hand of God against you. And what happened was he ended up having so many things in his life that were turning upside down, things that he didn't even anticipate. I don't want to go into full detail, but it was horrible. After all that he had did to her, he had to come to her, and he asked her, pray for him. The very person tried to hurt you. Don't touch God's anointing. Don't do it. And he apologized to her for the way he treated her. And he explained that he did not understand her, and he did not consider to the fact that she had so much dedication in her life to God. And she was a prosperous and progressive woman, very well educated, but very much committed to God. And she wasn't a religious person, because religion is based upon principles that mankind generates. No, she was a true spiritual impacted individual who loved God with everything within her. And that's why she was so prosperous and so affluent. And he apologized. And when she gave me what had happened to her, I said, see, all you have to do is stand still. And God has been speaking to my mind, saying, stand still and know that I am God. Stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. When God tells you to stand still, do you mean don't retreat to the mountains? Don't run and hide behind the bush? He told Moses that. He said, stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is coming. And I don't know how it's coming, to remove these evil presences, these hindering spirits, these negative vibrations, but it's already taking place at this very hour. And we thank God because Jesus told us he's the victory to overcome the world, even our faith, and through him we overcome all things. What Apostle Paul saying? He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And with this treasure in our earthen vessels, believers, we have to remain humble. And know that it's God that does the work. We're just the vessels. We're but clay in the hands of the masterful potter. And that's just a blessing assurance to know. And remain humble. Because when God does it, know it's God. Don't give credit to mankind. No, that is not his story, therefore not his glory. Give it to God because it's him that worketh the miracles. And to those of you who have been coming to me and inboxing me, know that I'm standing with you. And what does the scripture say? One puts 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. And what did God say? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. To those broken families, to those broken-hearted individuals, know that God will mend your heart. He will mend your relationships. We're speaking it. In the name of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He will do it. And as we speak now, I'm standing in agreement with you. It's already done in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, please get this out of the religious form. It's not about religious. And someone even asked me, are you very religious? No, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, which means it's an ongoing progression with me. I'm not just up here, there. I'm one way in a venue of collective establishment and just something else. Otherwise, no, this is perpetual for me. This is my existence. This is my way of life. This is my way of actually connecting and communicating with others. And thank you, God, for your gift. I don't take his gift lightly. I don't play. What's glorifying to God, I'm going to give him that glory because he is a miracle worker. And we thank him for being a miracle worker. And Father God, bless all those who have tuned in to that special word that this word was for. Open up the ears and the windows of their understanding that they will increase in righteousness. They will come to repentance and come to understand that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, we thank you for all things, Father God. Amen and amen. And amen means simply, so be it. We're standing in complete affirmation. Thank you, Father God. And as we told you, we are going through the book of Genesis. We went through the first chapter and the second chapter. And Genesis means beginning, origins, the start phase of mankind's existence. And right now, we're going to the third chapter. And recap from last week, we see where God spoke man and woman into existence. The first man was called Adam. He was a man of the earth, a ruddy man, a man of the earth. And when he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he took a rib out of his side and created he woman, which means the womb of a man, and her name was Eve, the mother of all. Now, I know I've been having some people coming at me. You should see some of the things that I get in my inbox from my, you know, email accounts about Lilith. You never say anything about Lilith. Lilith, according to scripture, never did exist. She was a myth, a mythological projection. There was no reality phase of saying that this woman ever existed. We know Eve existed because she was considered as the mother of all mankind. So that's what we stay with. That's what we see. Don't get involved into the strange doctrines and beliefs of other individuals who think they've unearthed something. Because as King David said, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. There's no dispute. There's no arguing. The facts prove itself. So, third chapter, verse 1 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. What does he mean, subtle? Means sneaky, deceptive, pretentious. Say with me, subtle means pretentious, deceitful, and even underhanded. He was slick. He knew how to put on a presentational appeasement to pull others in. Subtle means also seductive. He knew how to do seductive tactics that would get him the desired results. And here it was. And he said unto the woman, now why he goes to the woman? Because the woman was the weaker vessel. This is why the serpent. See, you don't want to mess with the strong link in the chain, because guess what happens? The strong link in the chain will reinforce that entire chain. So what you do is that you go to the weakest link in the chain in order to get the domino effect to happen. Now here it was. He said, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's presenting a question. He's making a statement, but he's so slick, he's presenting it as a question. He's saying, he said it. The way he's saying, challenge, what we going to do here? Didn't he say don't eat of that tree? You know why? And the woman said unto him in the second verse, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. Third verse, she remembered. She said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she knew. He told Adam, but Adam was reminded as well, and she got the command too. Don't eat of that tree, because there are things condensed in that tree that should not be explored or dealt with, because the wrath is coming. If you do it, the wrath is coming. And the most unprecedented thing is that you don't know how it's coming. It could be your health, your family's health. It could be your finances. It could be your mind. It could be the place where you live. It could be your relationships with others. It's coming. And he was letting them know, don't do it. And what happened? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Oh, you tell me, well, you go and eat in that tree. You touch that tree. Nothing's going to happen to you. That means you can hurt other people. You can do things to upset and offset other people. Nothing's going to happen to you. Look who you are. You know what will happen. The enemy will lie to you. And when he knows the hand of God is coming against you because you have offended his children, he'll take off running. And you know what? I've got to tell you something else. He is an accuser. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He say, see what he did? See what she did? Don't play. Don't play. And this is what happened. It says, and for God doth know, now see the lie that he is, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That same deceitful, lying statement is so prevalent and present even in today's society. Go on and do that. Go on and hurt them. They're nobody, because look at who you are. Because you know what? You're as a God, lying fallacy, straight from the pits of Hades. Lie. Just blurt out lie. He knew what would happen if that tree was eaten thereof, and if the very fact occurred that it was even touched. He knew it would destroy the family of mankind, that his covenant that God made with mankind would be diminished. The enemy knew it. He knew it. He knew it. But he knew, because he suffers an eternal fate of separation from God, he knows where he's going to end up being. He wants others to join him. You think he wants to see you happy? You blessed and prosperous? Doing the right thing? And when you treat God's people right and you give them consideration and you treat them with care and look after them, don't you know God is going to multiply your blessings exceedingly? And this is what the enemy did not want. He didn't want it. He said, for God know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open as God's. There's but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There are no other gods. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, who is part of God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. That's all. That's all. Don't call angels gods. Don't call apostles gods. Don't call spiritual leaders gods. Don't do that, because it's not befitting. It's not correct. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that means it looked tantalizing. It looked good. It looked befitting. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was beautiful. You think Satan's going to try and tempt you with something not attractive? No. That's why the scripture tells us. Jesus told us, love not the world, nor the things in it. For all that's in the world are the lust of the flesh. That means carnal appetites, appeasement. the lust of the eyes, what looks good, and the pride of life. Oh, those could be the three most destructive factors that one could come across. And guess what happened? And when the tree, she saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired and to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Oh, my goodness. We're always to the sixth verse. So what happened? She tasted the fruit. It looked beautiful. It looked harmless. She ate the fruit. Then she tempted her husband. She whispered. She dropped a little dime in his ear and said, come on, taste this. This is good. Uh-oh, what happened? And when the eyes of them both were open, many people say, well, apparently they weren't blind. No, if she was blind, how would she know the serpent was in the garden? She had conversations with him. No, that means her understanding, her consciousness became aware. Say with me, her eyes were the windows of her consciousness. She became aware, and they knew that they were naked. They had their eyes open. They didn't know they were naked. Naked was innocence to them because their consciousness had not developed to a phase to define to the fact that being unclothed was not right. But when they did that, they lost their innocence. That is the time that mankind lost his innocence, when they ate of the fruit. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See? So their intellect began to expand because they made a fatal mistake. Let's go to the eighth verse. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That means late afternoon. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Lord God, that means governor, sovereign of the universe, master of all things. They hid themselves because their eyes, their consciousness became open. They were made aware that they weren't wearing any clothes and that they had disobeyed what God commanded him. And the Lord God called unto them, ninth verse, and said unto him, where art thou? God is saying, where are you? Tenth verse. And he said, I heard thy voice. This is Adam speaking in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He's saying my consciousness became aware to the fact that I wasn't wearing any clothes or covering, neither was my wife. And I got scared and I hid myself. That's what he said. 11th verse. And he said, this is God speaking, the H should be a capital H. Who told thee that thou wast naked? He said, who told you were unclothed? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now then God knew. He already knew anyway. But just testing the obedience of mankind. And what happened? 12th verse. And the man said, here is the day. Men oftentimes blame women for their downfalls and their mistakes. And the man said, this is Adam, first man, saying, the woman which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You see, he took and shifted the blame on the woman. The woman is the weaker vessel. So what better way? The weakest link in the chain. One of the most prolific bank robbers to get apprehended, and he has a sidekick with him. What happens? The sidekick is the weaker vessel. That's the reason why he's the lookout man, and he's the transportation man. What'll happen? Condensed bank robber will say, well, you know what? He's the one that drove me here. He's the one that drove the getaway vehicle because he does not want to take the blame upon himself. But see, Adam, where you went wrong, God told you first and foremost. He made you first in his own image. He took you from the ground and made you from the essence of the earth. You're to be a custodian leader over his creations, of his development, and he entrusted you. And you fell from grace, now you've been disgraced, and you want to blame the woman. And what happened? We're going to go to this verse, and we're going to come back next week. 13th verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? He asked her, what is it that you've done? Why did you do this? What did the woman say? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She's saying, the serpent, he lied to me. He tricked me. He fooled me. I got tempted, and I ate because the tree was beautiful. See, we as women, we see things from a beauty standpoint. Now, the serpent, first thing people say, oh, that serpent was ugly. We think it was a snake. A serpent can be a spirit, be ever so beautiful and presentational, but the spirit is underhanded and undermined. And she's ill. 14th verse, and the Lord God sang unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Look out. He's telling the serpent, you're going to be considered the lowest animal. This is the reason why the serpent, and he had to be in a beautiful, beautiful presentation. See, Satan can transform himself into any form that he can to seduce mankind. So this is the reason why we see serpents or snakes crawling on their bellies. They have no legs. You know what? Actually, they're the only creature that doesn't have any legs. Birds have feet. They have talons. But a serpent has no feet. Even a crocodile. People say that snakes are reptilians. Yes. Snakes are considered as the lowest level of reptilians. They have no feet, no arms, no legs. Have you ever thought about that? Alligators do have legs. Crocodiles have legs. The dragon of Komodo has legs. Newts, all various types of animals except the serpent. That's the reason why God made them immobile, because of the presentation that was used to detract and to destroy mankind. Listen, we're going to come back again on next Sunday with the Pilgrim's Journey. We want to say to you, have a miracle-filled, blessed, productive, and prosperous week. You can always reach out to me here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the Pilgrim's Journey, as well as through my email address. And I know many of you have it, you've used it, and thank you for doing so. AbbyPhelps965@gmail.com and also at AbbyPSWire@yahoo.com. So listen, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Be blessed. Share your blessing. Give those testimonies, because they're going to come rolling in. We're going to see great transformations on this week, and God bless you, and I love you. And know that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Some of you have been following me on Facebook. You can go to Abby Phelps, and I will definitely respond to you, inboxing me, your prayer requests, your concerns, your necessity or need for counseling, other areas that you may feel that I could be of great service to you. I'm on call 24 hours a day. That's right, because we're on a mission here to transform lives, to allow the power and the presence of God to be a blessing to our cities, our communities, our states, and even our world. We're reaching everyone worldwide. And certainly I thank God for the wonderful, wonderful prayer ministers and Morrison Riddles International Ministries. So glad to be a prayer partner with them and working in the vineyard with them to harvest in souls, meet and ripe for the master's use. So God bless you, heaven smile upon you, and we'll see you this week. Oh, yeah.